Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You're listening to a Count Out Podcast. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Independent Waters. I am your host, Mikey Manfredi, and joining me, as always, is, not stalling to think of a nickname at all, Zach Viper Batista. Zach, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing good. Work kind of sucks this week, but honestly, I've had worse.
All right. Well, at least it's... I don't even want to say at least you have worse, because I feel like that sounds terrible. At least it's been worse.
But on the bright side...
I guess at least this wasn't the worst, is I think what I was trying to say.
Now, there's one thing I want to talk about that is great, is that fall weather is coming around.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been so happy.
Get this sun out of here. Give me my apple cider. Give me my flannels.
Give me my jeans. Give me my sweatshirts.
Let me feel that chill in the air. Let me go outside... Let me get that feeling of going outside in a t-shirt, feeling the wind blow, and being like, "Ooh, I need a sweatshirt."
Oh, man, it falls so good.
Going back inside for a sweatshirt is one of my most favorite feelings in the entire universe, because I know that means it's finally getting to that beautiful fall weather.
It's such a nice middle ground of comfiness, but at the same time, like, not too cold that I'm like, I need to be inside all day. Don't talk.
Yeah, it's like super comfy, and then like even if it gets a little too bothersome, there's always a nice breeze that rolls in that always hits you at the perfect moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, fall, you never cease to amaze me.
Never.
I love fall.
Oh, fall's
I can't
best.
Wait to do fall activities. I can't wait to go like pumpkin picking and stuff.
Oh, that's gonna be fun.
And apple picking or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, hell yeah. I want to make homemade apple cider this year.
Ooh.
Anyway, we're getting too into fall. Why don't we get into some falls on the ring while we Ooh. Talk about wrestling? Yeah, that was smooth.
I liked it.
Anyway, so we got... I believe we gave you a preview last week of what matches we brought, but why don't we reiterate at the top of the show, Zach, what matches you bring to the table
this week? This week, I am bringing Fred Yehi going against Matt Bitchett at BACW Wrestling. And then I am bringing to you... One moment. I just lost my place. Alex Gracia going against Miranda Gordy at SWE Fury for the SWE Fury Women's Championship.
All right. And I brought to the table this week Leo Rush taking on Jeff Cobb from a promotion called MCW Pro Wrestling. And I brought to the table from GoPro Wrestling presents Polyam Cult Party 3, Ally Catch versus Molly McCoy.
Nice.
Yeah. This one was exciting. I can't wait to get into it. And, of course, we have the surprise match that we both brought, which we'll get into later. Mm-hmm. And Zach's nickname, as always, is a hint to what that match is. this one was probably pretty on the nose, but that's fine. anyway, why don't we get right into it? Zach, who started off, I guess not last week, because we were doing our AEW review, but 2 weeks ago.
I'm going to be real. I don't remember for once. Normally I have an inkling, but it's been so long since we've had to record this.
All right, why don't you kick us off then? And then we'll start, and then next week we'll start off with, we'll start from there. We'll start to cycle over right
nice,
here.
Nice, fresh reset.
Yeah, nice, fresh reset.
All right. Let's go with Yehi and Fitchit, because this match gave me some very mixed feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So, right off the bat, I want to say that if you want to watch this match, you should be warned that there is a lot of bright flashing lights in the intro for this video. For some reason, I don't know why. Like, epilepsy warning, like, if you have that, don't look at the beginning of this video. Second, the audio for this match is horrendous.
Yikes.
It sounds muffled and underwater, and sometimes it even lagged ahead of the action in the ring. So, not the best start. And the camera isn't the best either.
Yikes.
It's blurry at some point.
Sounds like a lot of bad off the bat.
But that's the production. And that's okay. Kind of where the bad for this goes, because the match itself, I actually quite enjoyed.
Okay. Like,
okay, so this match is a Pup Cup match.
Okay.
Pup stands
what does that
for
mean?
Performance Under Pressure. This
okay.
Cup's winner is based not on wins and losses, but rather a fighter's ability to perform under pressure, which I actually really like the idea of.
So it's not about like winning a tournament. It's just like whoever fought the hardest.
Yes,
basically.
Whoever fought the hardest, whoever performed under pressure.
So even if you lose every match, you still have a chance.
If the judges think that you fought harder and better than the guy who beat you, then you could still come out ahead of that on that match, which I quite enjoy. So, let's talk about the match itself. This match starts off very aggressive. These two just chain wrestle each other to the mat. Yehi eventually gets Matt in the corner. Yehi's forced to let go, and then he chops Matt in the chest. Matt responds with his own, but Yehi just laughs at him and then tells him to just keep going. It's like, yeah, sure, why not? Matt's like, all right, fine. And then we get into a pissing contest of chops between these two, and my God, these two were swinging for the fences on these chops. They did not hold back at all. Which, of course, if you know me and Mikey, if it's a slobber knocker, it's usually a plus here.
Oh, the best.
So, that is until...
Love two guys just beating the piss out of each other.
Mm-hmm. They go back and forth for a bit until Yehi fakes a chop, grabs Matt's wrist in order to take him to the mat into a headlock. The two get back to their feet, and Matt gets some offense by stomping on Yehi's elbow, but Yehi then immediately stands up and chops him again. Matt
Yikes.
Stumbles back into the corner, and Yehi motions for him to, like, you know, like, bring it on. And the two square off once again. However, thanks to Yehi's raw power, he is able to get a vice grip on Matt's hand, and then he just kind of muscles him to the mat, where he works his arm and shoulder over for a bit until Matt gets a rope break.
Okay.
Two get off, square off again. They go to do the test of strength again, except this time Matt hoists Yehi up and dumps his ass onto the mat with a scoop slam,
Ooh.
Followed by a knee to the chest.
Nice.
He then tries to cover him with his forearm over Yehi's face, but Yehi kicks out, and as he goes to the corner to use the rope as leverage to get up, Matt kicks his hand off the rope, and Yehi's like, oh, so that's how it's gonna fucking be. And Matt just kind of goes like, bring it on.
Oh, that's how this is going.
Yeah, like, there's basically, like, Yehi's aggressive, Matt responded, Yehi's like, oh, alright, bitch, fine.
Bring it.
They stare each other down again. There's a lot of this in this match. They lock up, Yehi shoves him into the corner. They then take turns again chopping each other's chests in the corner like their life depended on it. Until Matt finally pops off, hits chops, and just strikes over and over to Yehi. And all I remember thinking about this was I was very impressed how, despite the audio, the chops and strikes sounded great. And they still have, like, their oomph to them that you want them to have. Which, you know, you sometimes lose if you do them really quickly.
Yeah, sometimes you lose that nice, like, pop.
Mm-hmm. Yehi comes right back at Matt in response to this, and basically shoulder charges him to the floor, hits a huge exploder suplex then. During this whole exchange, while he's doing this, by the way, Matt is, like, striking Yehi, and Yehi is just, like, a badass, not giving a fuck, and just muscling through him the whole time, which I quite enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Then Yehi, out of nowhere, decides to just casually lock in his Koji Clutch finisher, which I was like, oh, shit! Matt.
Brutal.
Matt gets out of it with a rope break. And the next minute or two is just Yehi just, honestly, he just manhandles Matt. He just grinds his arm into a pulp so that the clutch next time will work, theoretically.
It makes sense.
Eventually,
the plan is solid.
Solid plan, very aggressive, using his power. You know, what they've been building. Yehi then yanks Matt up by his ear, which I remember going like, why?
Get up here.
If anyone's ever had an earlock, it's like that, but it looked worse. So Matt grabs his ear back, and I remember going like, not what I was expecting, but okay. So they're yanking each other's ear, right? And the ref is telling them both to stop that. And the spot was just much more amusing than I thought it was going to be. It was just like a nice like break between the serious aggression we had here, where they're just grabbing each other's ear and refusing to let go. Matt escapes a head scissors hold from Yehi after this. And then tries to strike him, but Yehi gets his guard up and just kind of blocks every strike. This gives him the opportunity to then wallop Matt with heavy forearms and a chop to the chest. Thankfully for Matt, though, he then nails Yehi with a high knee to the face out of nowhere, which knocks him back into the corner. Yehi then chucks him onto the apron as he charges him and follows him over there. And on the apron, these two then duke it out mano a mano as they go blow for blow with absolute belters of strikes until
Hell yes, that's what I like to hear.
Pulls off. I've never seen something like this before. So Yehi smacks Matt with a spinning bat fist, right?
Okay.
And then Matt retaliates with a fucking Pele kick on the apron. Like he holds the rope and then just flips and kicks him in the head.
Brutal.
Absolutely. Gets to the top rope as Yehi then gets into the ring. Yehi then dodges a strike from him off the top and goes to spinning back fist him again, but this time Matt is prepared and ducks and smoothly Germans Yehi to the mat.
Nice.
Matt then takes his off his elbow pad and goes to forearm Yehi, but Yehi then ducks it this time and then counters it with a flatline into the Koji clutch. But by some goddamn miracle, Matt is actually able to slip underneath Yehi and get out of the hold.
Oh, interesting.
He then tries to German Yehi. He fails. Yes, I know. I was actually surprised with this. I was like, oh shit, he actually didn't lose. Yehi then goes for a suplex. Matt then cradles him. Yehi kicks out. Matt then running forearms Yehi in the face, goes to do so again, but then he is countered immediately as Yehi runs and forearms him in the face before leg dropping him in the corner. Then he goes suplex Matt again. Matt gets out of it again, but this time Yehi is ready and he beams him with the chop to the chest. Matt Pele kicks him in response. This knocks Yehi to the corner. Yehi is then forced to fight Matt off with an elbow before climbing to the top, where Matt then hurricane runs him off the top rope. Blows right through Yehi with a running knee to the face as he gets up and picks up the win.
Nice.
As you could tell, this match had a lot going on for it. And honestly, it was really nice. Like, I like the chops. I like the wrestling aspects. The problem was the production fucking sucked.
Oh, that's the worst.
So, like, the audio wasn't there all the way. Like, I could hear wrestlers on the outside talking, and I'm like, you sound like you're in a fishbowl. There was like the one cameras, like there were two cameras, but they were both not the best quality.
This is now fishbowl wrestling, FBW.
And it was a shame because I was like, if they had like just like honestly, if it was just a better product, like just even one better camera, it would have made all the world for this match.
Mm.
I want to give this match a high meh, but I'm going to give it a meh only for the fact that it was just wasn't as pleasant as I wanted it to be to watch.
Bummer.
But good job by these two, honestly. Like, I'm sure if this was, like, a better production, or a better, like, if it was better produced, this would have gotten a high meh easily for me.
Gotcha. But yeah, it's hard to rate a match high, but it's hard to watch, I guess. But hey, at least the wrestling was good.
Exactly. That was what I took my takeaway from it. I was like, you know what? Hey, they both did well. I'll probably find a match from Matt later in the future now. Put him on that list of independent wrestlers to be like, hey, I'll look out for you.
Yeah. All right, well, that's cool. Well, let's get into my first match of the night, then. We got Lio Rush taking on Jeff Cobb from MCW Pro Wrestling.
Mm.
This match is typical speed versus power match, right? It is little fast guy versus big strong man.
Figured as much.
Yeah. But also, big strong man can do high-flying, flippy stuff. Which is terrifying, by the way. Jeff Cobb is a terrifying human being.
Yes, he is. And I fucking love him and his finisher, which is God tier.
The Tour of the Islands?
One of the best finishers that I've ever seen. I love the Tour of the Islands.
So good. I'm so mad he hasn't showed up in AEW more from that one time.
I mean, We can dream. The forbidden door has been broken open several times now. Maybe he wants to do something, or someone wants to do something with him.
Who knows?
I'm sure someone does, because they've literally had him on before, and they were interested in him before. I don't see how that changes now.
Well, saying Tony Khan, if you get Jeff Cobb on there, it'd be pretty sick. But granted, I'm not gonna act like we don't get anyone when we get Brian.
I would say don't start complaining about like new signings. Like, we just got CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Adam Cole.
It's not my fault, Ruby Soho.
Like, come on.
That AEW's roster is so stacked. There's so many matches that can be impossible now. But
yeah,
I can't keep getting sidetracked with AEW.
Anyway, it's Tuesday night, and we're very excited for Grand Slam.
Oh, Grand Slam.
But we talked about AEW on our last step episode, which we released over on Saturday, talking about AEW Dark Elevation and AEW Rampage from the Prudential Center. Quick self-promotion there. Go check that out if you want to hear what we thought about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, my first match, Lio Rush versus Jeff Cobb.
Yes.
So, these two get into it pretty quick. It's a lot of Lio Rush trying to be like, listen, I can hold my own here. Let's do some wrestling, you know? And him and Jeff Cobb, like, lock up and do, like, a test of strength, and Lio keeps losing. Cobb keeps pushing him off, throwing him away. And, like, Lio Rush just can't get the upper hand here, no matter what he does.
Man of the hour is not getting it.
There's one point where they try again. They lock up. And then while Rush is trying to, like, transition out of a hold, Cobb just goes, huh, and throws him, like, across the ring. And Rush just, like, lands on his back and rolls into the corner, and then he goes, 1 second. and he runs out of the ring, up the ramp to the back.
Oh.
And the ref's like, where are you going? What's going on? And Cobb's like, what's happening? And then the ref starts counting. The ref's like, 1, 2. He gets to seven. And then Cobb's like, nah, I'm not winning like this. Cobb like rolls out and rolls back in to reset the count.
Oh, shit.
And then Rush comes out. Rush has changed from his regular long tights into just like a full on like a high school wrestling singlet, right? Like a and he runs back to the ring and he's like, all right, let's wrestle.
Wow, I was expecting Blackheart, and he said went full Olympian. All right, fuck it, let's go. I'm taking
he went full Kurt Angle, came out with the straps. He was ready. And it was great. This is when, once again, Rush starts trying to prove that he can wrestle Cobb. He starts trying to take him down, and Cobb's just like, interesting. good try.
Trying to out-wrestle the Olympian.
Yeah, and then, Cobb, Lio Rush is able to, like, get out of a hold Cobb has on him and start getting some strikes in. Mm-hmm. He, like, lands, like, a couple of forearms, like, a couple of slaps.
Yeah.
A leg kicks, and then he bounces off the ropes and goes for a crossbody.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you three choices as to what happens. Crossbody was successful.
Okay.
Jeff Cobb catches Lio Rush. Lio Rush bounces off of Jeff Cobb. What happens?
I'll be honest. It was easy until you said he bounced off him, because I like that. I'm going to go... The easy answer is catching him. So I'm going to say bouncing off, because that just sounds funnier.
Cobb, you should have gone with the safe pick. Cobb
Damn.
Just catches Rush out of the air. And just like... He just catches Rush and Lio, like, escapes again, and he's like, nope, I'm getting out of this. He, like, wriggles himself out, and he starts landing some offense in.
Mm-hmm.
And then, after he does that, he goes to get Cobb up for a Death Valley driver. Like, he actually gets him up for a second.
Oh, shit, all
like,
right.
Like, on his shoulders, like, after he gets out of being caught by Jeff Cobb. He gets him up in a Death Valley driver, and then Cobb just, like, shifts it. He just basically just like rolls his weight forward and just falls on top of Rush.
Oh.
Like the way he shifts his weight, Rush just like falls forward and is like bam.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, but like he got him up.
Yeah, he did. He got him up.
Yeah. Then Cobb gets after that, he goes for the pin, Rush kicks out. Then Cobb gets Rush on the top rope.
Okay.
And Cobb goes for a superplex.
Mm-hmm.
But Cobb being Cobb doesn't just go for his superplex. Cobb flexes a little bit and does this superplex with one singular arm.
Oh my god. Can't keep getting away with it.
He just like gets him up and he just goes like whoop with one arm and just superplexes him.
Like, that's all right. You want to keep trying this game? Sure. Fuck it.
Just like every time Rush seems to get any momentum in this match or like anything happens, Cobb is just answering back with another thing.
He is Jeff
and just
Cobb.
Destroying Leo. Like, it's really, really rough. Then there's one point where, like, after that superplex, Rush, like, crawls over to the corner and, like, leans there.
Mm-hmm.
And Cobb is like, all right, time for a big old big man body splash. You know how they do.
Yeah, classic.
And then Rush is able to move out of the way. And he'll move out of the way and, like, pull the ropes and, like, basically, like, throw Cobb out.
Okay.
And Cobb is on the outside. And when Cobb is on the outside, Rush, like, he goes outside to the apron. Sorry, not to, like, the outside. He goes to, like, the apron.
Okay.
Rush meets him out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then... let me see. Oh, no. Okay, so let me restart. I figured out my notes. Nice. All right, so Cobb was on the apron.
Mm-hmm.
Rush runs up, does like a front handspring, double kick.
Okay.
Knocks Cobb off the apron.
Okay.
Rush goes for a suicide dive. I'll give you multiple choices as to what happens. Suicide dive successful.
Okay.
Cobb catches for Leo. Leo bounces off Cobb.
I'm going to pick Cobb catches Leo. I swear to God,
Cobb does catch Leo.
Okay, I was going to say, I swear to God, if it was he bounce off, I'd be like, I can't fucking win today.
Cobb catches Leo again. And he, instead of doing anything, he just catches Rush, throws him up in a military press, and just hooks him back into the ring over the second, like, in between the second and third ropes, like the top and middle rope. He just, like, hooks him in the ring.
Well, shit.
He's like, you get back in there. We're not doing this. then Cobb gets in, basically just continues to beat Rush up, because once again, Rush cannot get momentum going in this one.
God, it's not Rush's time.
No. Then Cobb is Irish whipping Rush,
mm-hmm.
basically. And then he does, like, you know in, like, the 2K games where you hold the circle button, or you hold, like, whatever button it is, the Irish whip, and you do, like, the really strong one?
Yeah.
And, like, throws them and they, like, get the corner and fall over.
Oh, yeah, of course. You throw them and you destroy their back.
Exactly. That's basically what Cobb did to Rush, and, like, Rush ended up in, like, a sitting position. So, basically, he throws Rush really strong at the turnbuckle. Rush bounces off. Like, he hits chest first and bounces off.
Mm-hmm.
Cobb goes to, like, catch him for a German.
Yeah.
But then Rush is able to escape the German and finally gets some momentum in.
Oh.
He lands, like, a flurry of blows, like... punch, punch, kick, kick, and then, like, it ends with, like, a spitting heel kick to Cobb's head,
mm-hmm.
which finally takes him down.
Nice.
Rush is finally able to, like, make up his, get his momentum going, and once he does, once he takes Cobb down, he stands up, at this point, he did the Kurt Angle thing where he pulled the straps down to show he was getting serious.
Yeah.
So, at this point, they were already pulled down after he knocks Cobb down. So he gets up, puts the straps back on, and then pulls them back down again.
Just like, pull them off, put them down.
He pulls them up, gets them back in position, then he just goes, and pulls them off again. He reset his momentum.
I kind of love how this match is both got its serious, but also its not-so-serious moments where it knows to have fun.
Yeah, I think it was a reference to when Kurt Angle did that.
Yes, I remember that moment.
Kurt Angle used to do that sometimes, where he'd, like, put his straps back on just to take his straps off again.
God, Kurt Angle's awesome.
It's very funny. Anyway, after he does that, he's able to get Cobb on his feet, and he does get Cobb up for the DVD this time, which he hits.
Ooh.
Cobb kicks out at one mm-hmm. from that DVD. And then after he kicks out at one, Rush just gets up and just, like, sidekicks him in the head.
Oh.
And goes back into a pin, and then Cobb kicks out at two.
Well, shit.
Rush goes for the frog splash,
mm-hmm.
but Cobb is able to, like, roll out of the way.
Okay.
And Cobb, he rolls out of the way. Leo Rush, like, rolls through and, like, gets on his feet. Mm-hmm. But then, like, Cobb rushes up to him, just grabs him, and hits him with giant exploder suplex.
Ooh.
But then, this doesn't keep Rush down, because Rush comes back and nails a tornado DDT onto Cobb.
Oh.
Nails a tornado DDT, goes back up to the top, goes for that frog splash again, hits it, gets the 1, 2, 3, Leo Rush wins.
Damn.
Yeah.
They were shook a fucking beating.
Yeah. Yeah, this match was brutal in terms of, I'm so sorry what you had to go through, Leo Rush. But also, it was awesome. So,
fair enough.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, this match ruled these two. It was basically just like Jeff Cobb beating the ever-loving piss out of Leo Rush for a while, and then Leo Rush being like, Kurt Angle, reset! Ah! What is it? Second wind!
Second wind.
He comes back and he ends up winning this one with some high flag maneuvers.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really good. I really enjoyed this one. Like you said, it had its serious moments and it had its awesome wrestling, but it also had like the silly moments here and there, like when Rush came out in the singlet, yeah, or when he did the thing where he pulled him down, pulled him back up. You know, like it had its funny bits, so I appreciated that, because I always appreciate when matches can work in comedy here and there, even if they're like deadly serious.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Not everything has to be mega edgy all the time.
Very true.
Like, yeah, like, it's cool sometimes just to have a fun match between two people who want to fight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this match was good. I think I'm going to give it a high meh for this one.
Nice.
Really, really enjoyed it. Definitely knocked it out of the park. The match was really cool. Not, like, markout level, but, like, still really, really good. So I'd go check it out over on MCW Pro Wrestling's YouTube channel.
Nice.
Yeah. So what is your second match of the week, my friend?
All right, let's get to Gracia versus Gordy at SWE Fury.
Yes, please.
Honestly, this match felt like a squash match to me.
Big yikes.
So main story going to this match...
In terms of who, yeah.
...is that Miranda, the champ, recently won the championship from the former champion, Jazz.
Oh, and big, big win.
In a surprise, she, as she was going after this title, she basically changed from a face to a heel. And
nice.
Had to become a heel to beat Jazz.
Okay.
So, this match starts off with the two of them lightly grappling each other, and they quickly separate, go back at it again. Gracie gets the upper hand here by ducking a clothesline from Miranda, and then she repeatedly kicks her in the right leg until she's on the floor.
Okay.
Gracie goes up the top rope to crossbody, but Miranda catches her midair.
Oh, wow. And then, we have a lot of that today. It seems.
Yes, apparently. And then body slammed her to the mat, and then after this, it's just all Miranda working over Gracie's left arm. For, like,
yikes,
a long time. Like, there are points where, like, Gracia shows, like, a sign of life here and there. Like, she rolls Miranda up, but then she just gets knocked back down immediately, gets her arm worked over again.
Yeesh.
After that moment where she knocks her down, she locks in her finisher, which is on the damaged arm, which is a short-armed scissor hole, is what commentary said it was.
Okay.
And in order to get out of this, Gracia just punches Miranda in the face. The most simple method, but it works.
Nice.
She gets a few chops in.
Listen, sometimes you don't need the fancy stuff.
Yes. Miranda goes for a clothesline, misses, and then immediately she turns around and lariat, and... So Miranda... I lost my space there, holy shit.
Do you? It's okay.
So after Gracie gets out of this hold, she gets a few chops in, and then a Miranda eventually goes to clothesline her, but Gracie dodges it, and Miranda misses. And then Miranda just turns around immediately and just lariats Gracie in the back of the head.
Nice.
And we're going like, oh, that's not fun.
Yeah, I bet.
Miranda is in control again, only for a brief moment, though, since Gracie gets in some forearms, which sends Miranda back to the corner. She then continues his beatdown, knocks Miranda to the bottom turnbuckle. One detail that I actually liked here a lot for this match is that the whole time from this point on, all of Gracie's strikes, whenever I say she's hitting, is with her right arm, never with her left arm.
Mm-hmm.
Just a nice detail that I liked. However, eventually Gracie goes to pick Miranda up from the floor, and Miranda just forearms her in the face, which knocks her to the floor, and then, you know, back to the left arm, back to grinding it down. Gracie, though, mounts another comeback eventually, thanks to a duo of drop kicks, and then she knocks Miranda back into another corner. She runs at Miranda then catches her and puts her on the top rope, and the two then fight back and forth And in the end, Gracie gets the upper hand and hits Miranda with a diving crossbody, which I'm pretty sure was a finisher because commentary sold it very much. Only gets her a two count, though. And right after this, Gracie throws Miranda to the corner, goes for a running splash, but Miranda dodges it, clotheslines her to the floor, locks in the scissor hold. Gracie tries so hard to get out of this, but she can't get out. Forced to tap.
Mm-hmm.
That's the match.
All right. All right. Yeah, sounds basic. Like you said, sounds like a swash.
Yeah, and I have written down here, I'm like, I'm sorry to say, but there was not one point in this match where I thought for a second Gracie was going to win it. And that's
that's no bueno.
That's what hurt me the most about this match, that the wrestling was fine in this match. Gracie's selling was good. But mm-hmm. I never got invested in the match. Like, the match was fine, but I myself just was like, when I finished it, I was like, yeah, I didn't ever think that she was going to lose that. And that's unfortunate.
I don't know if that's I don't know if that's unfortunate for Gracia or fortunate for Gordy, you know?
I don't know. Because I just came out of this match going like, that, yeah, it was a match. I get this match for me is like the textbook definition of a meh. Like, I walked out of it going like...
textbook definition. If you looked up meh in the dictionary, it would just be like a still image from this match.
A still image of my reaction to this match of like, eh.
Okay.
Which made me a little... Like, obviously, I'm a little disappointed, but, you know, hey, not every wrestling match is going to be, like, a five-star classic or, like, a super entertaining match, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair.
What do you got, Mikey?
All right. Well, my second match of the week, we got from GoPro Wrestling presents Polyamp... MV Young's Polyamp Cult Party 3. We got Alley Catch taking on formerly known Molly McCoy, right now known as Shay McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
And no longer Molly McCoy.
Yes.
This match is pretty solid. It starts off with, the whole story behind this one is we all know why Alley Catch became Alley Catch, right?
Of course.
Alley Catch became Alley Catch because she, like, suddenly grew a vendetta against character wrestlers.
Yes.
And at the time Alley Catch put this challenge out, Molly McCoy, had, like, a hockey gimmick.
Yes, I remember you mentioned this to me.
Like, she came out in, like, the hockey gloves, the helmet, the stick. She had, like, a stick, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, Molly McCoy came in with the hockey stick, the gloves, the helmet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Alley Catch took offense to that, because Alley Catch is like, you're not a real wrestler, you're just playing a character, and that's not real wrestling. Come fight me so I can show you what real wrestling is. And basically Molly McCoy is like, okay, yeah, I'll show you I can beat the tar out of you and be a real wrestler too.
Damn, alright.
So it's basically a, at first it starts out with them trying to out-chain wrestle each other,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like, they just keep going back and forth. They just keep going back and forth, just reversing holds here and there, you know? The whole mm-hmm. chain wrestling thing.
Yeah.
For, like, a while. And then, at one point, Molly's able to, like, get out of one of Catch's holds and just, like, nail Catch with, like, a cheap shot. Or not a cheap shot, but, like, she, like, lands, like, an elbow or something.
Mm-hmm.
And all this does is make Catch angry.
Of course.
Because Alley Catch just starts getting very aggressive and is just, like, goes for, like, the shoot takedowns where you just, like, start beating them up, you know?
Yes.
And Alley Catch just starts like just turning up her arsenal here and just using everything because she is pissed.
Pissed.
Yeah. There's points where Catch is showing off her chain wrestling skills and like getting out of moves creatively. Like she gets out of a move and then like stomps on McCoy's hand. You
Ooh.
Know, just to be like, yeah, I can do that. You know. Molly McCoy, not the one to be beaten down for very long. After she like gets her hand stomped on, Catch picks them up, and McCoy is able to break out and hit Catch with an STO.
Mm. All right,
and take them both down. But then Molly gets up and goes for a like just like a jumping senton,
mm-hmm.
and Catch rolls out of the way and locks in. I don't even know what kind of submission it was because I'm really bad at submission hold names. But all I remember is that it looked very brutal.
As many submission wrestlers' holds end up being.
Yeah, and then as her grip starts breaking, her grip is starting to break, so Alley Catch, like, lets go of the hold. Mm-hmm. And then she hits a jumping senton of her own.
Ooh.
Onto McCoy.
All right.
And then she gets up, sees McCoy's back is in pain, and she's like, I'll do one more, and hits her with another senton.
All right.
So basically she's just working in the back, you know, because we all know Alley Cat's finisher is that Boston crab.
Yeah, where she, like, bends him like a fucking pretzel.
Exactly. So she's just really working the back, trying to make sure when that gets locked in,
yes,
the opponent taps. But McCoy is able to land some, like, wall after these sentons, after she kicks out of both these sentons.
Mm-hmm.
Catch tries to pick her up. Molly's able to land some forearms and some right hands.
Mm-hmm.
On Catch, and then Molly goes for, like, what's it called? The Widow's Peak, Victoria's old finisher?
Yeah, it's the Widow's Peak.
Yeah, like, where they would, like, get him up on, a gory special, something like that.
I believe it is a gory special. I'll look up the actual name of it. Continue.
Yeah, McCoy goes for a gory special onto Alley Catch, or something, like the Widow's Peak, something like that. But then Catch is able to reverse it,
mm-hmm,
and get out of it, and these two start trading strikes again. And at one point, McCoy does this really funny thing where, they're hitting each other, and McCoy lands one elbow, and it spins Catch around.
Ooh!
And then after Catch spins around, she pushes her into the ropes. So, like, Catch, like, bounces off the ropes, like, face first.
Oh.
And, like, stumbles back into McCoy. And McCoy just gets on all fours and, like, tabletops her. It was very funny.
It's more funny than I thought it was going to be. Oh, by the way, it's a gory neck breaker.
Gory neck breaker, okay.
You were close.
Yeah, so McCoy lands this tabletop. Catch basically, like, falls over. McCoy springs up, just starts, like, landing these vicious-looking kicks into Catch.
Ooh.
And then after those kicks, she, like, hits her one more time in the gut and, like, grows up and hits her with a low DDT.
Ooh.
Which she then transitions into a guillotine submission.
Damn!
Yeah, so McCoy gets a burst of offense here. And just locks Catch in this submission for a while. But Catch is able to escape the guillotine. And she gets up and runs the ropes and goes for a quick lariat. But
mm-hmm.
McCoy is able to reverse Catch's arm. And hit a kill switch.
Ooh.
I don't know what the move is actually called. I know it as a kill switch because it's literally Christian's finisher.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she hits the kill switch. And then, Catch is able to kick out of that as well, get her own offense back in a little bit, she lands some elbows on McCoy's back,
mm-hmm,
and then she picks her up and goes for a German, and McCoy is able to reverse it and hit her own, Catch is going for a back suplex, he picks her up, McCoy backflips out, lands on her feet behind Alley Catch, then she just grabs Alley Catch by the waist and throws her with a German.
Ooh.
So that was dope. Then McCoy goes for that gory neck breaker again. She goes for that gory neck breaker again, but Catch is able to roll, like get out of it and hit a roll up. And for like a couple of things, sequences, the two just like start trading rolls back and forth. You know, it's the whole like one, two, one, two, mm-hmm, one, two, and they keep kicking out and rolling into different pins.
Mm-hmm.
Until Catch is, like, on her back, and McCoy, like, goes for a pin on her, but then Catch, like, catches McCoy with, like, an upkick from her back.
Ooh.
Which, like, knocks McCoy for a loop, and Catch just hits, like, an awesome Northern Light suplex off of it.
Damn.
Yeah, then Catch goes up to the top after this one.
Mm-hmm.
But McCoy, like, catches her and pulls her back down. While she's up there, she, like, hits her, beats her up, and then from the ropes gets her into that gory special.
Mm-hmm.
She hits it this time. She gets her from that top rope, she gets her to that gory neck breaker. She hits the gory neck breaker. Everyone's like, oh, this one's over. She hit her finisher. Catch kicks out.
Of course.
At two. Catch is able to kick out. Then McCoy is like, fine, you want to play games, we'll play games. And while Ketch is like getting back up, McCoy goes for her Kabu kick, which is like one of her other finishers.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the Kabu kick is basically like a head kick.
Okay.
That McCoy does, but while she goes for this head kick, after hitting her finisher, Ketch, don't bring your legs near Alley Ketch at any point, because Alley Ketch catches the kick, trips up McCoy, and locks in the Boston Crab.
Ooh.
Gets that arch, McCoy taps. Game over, Alley Ketch wins.
Damn. Yeah. This McCoy put up a hell of a fight by the sound of it.
Yeah. Yeah, McCoy put up a hell of a fight. This one was pretty solid. I really like this one. It was like, it really showed me their clash of styles, you know, because it let Alley Ketch be Alley Ketch and do chain wrestling stuff and submission hold stuff,
mm-hmm.
and like wear down the weak point for the finisher, like classic wrestling, right? But then it also let McCoy get in their like brawler kind of style, mm-hmm. you know, like the hockey fight.
Oh,
style.
That's
like with clever. like with the tabletop and like the head kicks and the right arm, like letting like the sequence of right arms and the forearm, you know, it
yeah.
was McCoy's heavy strikes versus Alley Ketch's like technical prowess, basically.
I like it.
Yeah, so it really definitely brought that energy of like hockey fight versus professional wrestler. Both very good, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying one is better than the other. Because hockey fighting is like my favorite style of professional wrestling. That's why I like people like Kevin Owens and Piper Niven and Shay McCoy and like people like that. You know, people who are just like brawlers and will just beat the hell out of you. You know, nothing fancy, just like hard strikes and throwing their body into you enough.
God, just absolute. What's the word? I'm trying to. It's just slugfest.
Yeah, basically just a big slugfest. Like the match from the other week. We had Ishii taking on Chris Hero.
Remember that match?
Oof, that was a slugfest and a half.
Yes, it was.
Anyway, Molly McCoy, Alley Ketch. Molly McCoy, obviously now known as Shay McCoy. Match was awesome. I'm gonna give it high meh, but on the fence.
Right.
I really like this one. It still gets that high match. Still an awesome match. Definitely recommend it. And I plan on watching more of Poly and Cult Party 3 because I wasn't able to watch it live. So I can't wait to catch up because it seems like all the matches are on GoPro Wrestling's YouTube channel separately.
Ooh.
So you can go check that out if you want to go see what you missed. Like I'm probably gonna. because if every match is like this one, I'm in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, definitely go check it out. High meh from me. And I believe that's all of our matches this week.
It is.
Except for our one we both watched. So, of course, we saved the surprise for last.
Yes.
And this week, me and Batista took a look at a match from Eve Women's Wrestling. Riot Girls of Wrestling, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked at Aja Kong taking on Viper Niven, who you may now know as Doudrop on SmackDown.
It took me so much when you said Piper Niven to be like, I mean, you mean Doudrop?
Piper Niven taking on taking on Doudrop. Wait a minute.
Wait a second.
On Aja Kong. To be fair, Viper would kick Doudrop's ass if the two were different people and they fought.
Yes. I mean, I'm not a fan of the name Piper.
I want to see Piper Niven do stuff like she's doing in this match again.
I would love to see that, but I guess we'll see whether or not the powers that be decide to book her like that.
Yeah, anyway. We've all took a look at this match. Zach, I just talked for a whole pretty solid minute about Alley Ketch, Molly McCoy. What did you think about Aja Kong Piper Niven?
This is the female equivalent of watching Godzilla go against King Kong. These
literally
two...
Kong.
Yeah. Oh shit, I didn't even think about that. It was like, was this match super fast paced? No.
No.
But I wasn't expecting it to be. But was it fun to watch? Hell yeah, it was. This match was a ton of fun.
Yeah, this match was... I literally have the note slow and methodical. Mm-hmm. This is two strong people just trying to overpower each other.
Yes. So the video starts off with them both coming to the ring. Piper's by herself. Aja Kong comes with Emi Sakura. By the way, she's amazing. If you haven't seen her in AEW. And Aja Kong has what I've described as a metal trash bin. I actually don't know what it is.
It definitely just looks like a trash can, but it's black instead of, like, silver.
It's something because I got recommended a Joshi tag video, and she had the same similar-looking thing, and I was like, I don't know what that is.
Interesting. It's definitely a trash can, but the commentators made a point of being like, oh, that's not aluminum, or... they were like saying it was some like different material. I'm like, what is it, steel? Like,
probably. It's a very heavy and very much will hurt if you get hit with it. That'll become important later on.
Yeah, it basically seems like a trash can that only people the size of Aja Kong could lift.
Honestly, yeah, probably. So these two immediately lock up, and Piper shows her dominance by overpowering Aja and shoving her into the corner.
Mm-hmm.
They then lock up again, and Piper ends up throwing Aja into the ropes. She rebounds back and tries to kind of just use her shoulder to knock Piper down, but...
No.
Piper takes it and just refuses to move.
I'll give you three choices as to what happens. This time they actually bounce off each other.
This time they do. They take turns back and forth being like, alright, come on, you like... Like, eventually Piper's like, let me try it in you. She's like, alright, fine.
And this part got me.
They were like, alright, let's see who's stronger. And then finally... Aja's like, all right, Piper, go again. So she goes, and instead of waiting, she just runs at her and hits her in the face with a forearm before just kicking her to the outside.
Feels like a jebaited idiot.
And the commentator is like, well, I mean, whoever said that she'd play by the rules, and I was like, not incorrect. So then after
they fight on the outside for a little while. They go to, like, the stage for some reason, but, like, nothing happens over there.
If I recall correctly, she, like, slams Piper onto the stage or something like that.
Yeah, but then nothing much else happens.
Yes, it's all Aja on the outside. Like, she's basically just dragging and beating Piper around the outside.
Yeah.
Eventually, Aja gets Piper back into the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And at every turn, Piper tries so hard to get back into this match, but Kong just... She either forearms her or strong-arms her, or she uses dirty tactics like raking her eyes to stay ahead of her.
Yeah. Like, during this point where Kong is just absolutely beating down Piper, right? Like, mm-hmm. Kong is just, like, it looks like she has this match in the bag.
Yes.
And it's just, like, beating down on Piper Niven. The commentary team made an amazing call.
What was the call they made again?
So, they made a call, and I don't know who the announcers are. I gotta do my research better and see who the announcers were for this match. But one of them made the call and went, when God made the devil, it was just for fun. When he wanted the real thing, they made Aja Kong. I was like, fuck.
That's such a good line. That's insane.
Holy like, that's fuck. Awesome. I don't know why. That line just kind of stuck with me throughout the rest of the match.
It's
I was like, that's fucking... awesome.
It's an epic sounding line.
Yeah.
I think... Oh, yeah. There was one thing that stuck out for me for this point, Mikey. It was... remember when Aja did the punt kick to Piper and it sounded like a gunshot went off?
Yes.
I remember going like, okay,
well, there's the match. Call it a TKO.
I was like, damn. After this, though, we get to my favorite part of the match, which is when Piper goes off. And Mikey, I've been talking about this match in length. You tell me... Tell the people at home what happens.
So, this is when... the two start trading clotheslines for a little bit.
Yes.
Right? They both get to their feet. They're trading clotheslines for a little bit. And then Piper starts getting the upper hand. Mm-hmm. Piper just, like, lands a couple of forearms. And then she goes off the ropes. And she hits this huge jumping spinning heel kick. And just takes Aja down.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd goes ballistic.
I popped so hard when she hit that and then hit the crossbody. I was like, let's fucking go, Piper. Let's go.
The crowd goes absolutely wild. Viper is finally starting to get some momentum in this match. She, like, throws Aja to the corner. She goes for a body splash. And then Aja Kong just grabs the trash can and goes, bong!
Just bonks her on the head.
And immediately hits her. The ref is like, listen, you shouldn't have done that. But they kept calling it, what, the Spirit of Eve or something?
It's like, basically, if you... I hate to bring in main wrestling, but it's like AEW where it's like it's the ref's discretion. The ref will choose when.
Referee discretion. It's like, was that a DQ? Do we want to just let him fight? We don't want to send the fans home unhappy, you know?
Pretty much, yes.
And like they kept using the excuse of like both people knew what they were getting into when they got signed up for this match, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway,
so after
Aja
this,
Aja Kong hits Viper with a trash can and somehow is still in this match. No DQ or anything. Match continues. After she rocks her in the head with the trash can, Aja picks Viper up and hits a brain buster.
Yeah, it's where it just casually just hoists her up and just drops her on her head.
And Viper just kicks out.
Yeah, I was like, ah?
After just getting brained by a trash can into a brain buster.
Didn't give a fuck.
No. Not so even a little.
After this, I believe Aja then goes for her spinning back fist finisher, but Piper actually ducks it and headbutts her.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Knocks Aja down. She has to go lay in the bottom corner to get some recovery. And seeing this, Piper just sprints and cannonballs her in the corner.
I love a good cannonball.
I love it too.
Viper Niven, Kevin Owens, like, oh. Give me a good cannonball.
So good.
Just huck yourself into the other person with no regard.
Fly into the middle turnbuckle and just smash their head, your body.
Great. I love it. If I was a wrestler, that would be one of my signature moves.
Oh, it looks so cool. So, it doesn't get her the win, obviously. So, Piper goes up to the top rope and tries to hit Aja with the Viper Bomb. Or Vader Bomb. But Aja gets her knees up. So, Piper is dazed from this. And then Aja spitting backhands her before hitting a fucking backdrop driver on her.
Mm-hmm.
But Piper just refuses to die and kicks out again.
Kicks out again. Unbelievable.
Aja is fucking furious at this point. So she picks her up to powerbomb her, and Viper gets out of it this time. And she So as Viper gets out of it, she goes to hit something, but Aja's like, nah, you're done. And she nails Viper in the face with a spinning back fist, which just drops her like a sack of potatoes.
No. What happened was she nails the spinning back fist. Viper doesn't go down, so Kong looks at her and just hits her with another spinning back fist. And then she drops like a second.
God, about that. Oh my god. And then if I recall correctly, Aja gets the top middle rope and hits a back elbow drop on Piper.
It was like a Vader bomb, but it was like an elbow drop bomb.
I remember being like, oh, well, that's different.
Mm-hmm. And she ended up winning. I went into this one fully expecting Viper to win.
Same. When she got pinned, I was like, oh shit. I was like, really?
Yeah, I was definitely, it definitely, is it weird that a legend like Aja Kong winning this match was unbelievable?
I know.
I don't know, right? maybe it's like my stupid TV brain being like, oh, this is them putting over the new guy, you know?
Exactly.
This is them putting over the new kid.
It's 100% what it is for you and I, where you and I are both like, there's no shot that the older, like, you have the new guy win it so that they can pick up this thing for being the legend.
Exactly.
Oh.
But then you remember they're a legend for a reason,
yes.
You know?
It's like, okay, fair enough.
And it's still Aja Kong, like,
Yes.
Shouldn't I guess we just shouldn't have made assumptions right off the bat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. This match was awesome.
Great match. Great
Loved
fucking
it.
Match.
Loved it. These two really kicked the absolute crap out of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty freaking awesome. What do you give this one, Zach?
I'm gonna give this one high meh.
I think I'm with you there on the high meh. I think it was decent. This match ruled. These two absolutely kicked the crap out of each other, and I loved every second of it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
All right. Well, that is all of our matches out of the way this week, which now leaves us with the Double Down.
The Double Down.
This is the segment of the show where me and Zach flashback to not last week, but 2 weeks ago, and watch matches from each other's perspectives. Zach, I know it's been a while, but what match did I give you to check out for this one?
You gave me Willow Nightingale versus Trish Adora at Women's Wrestling
Revolution.
I yes. believe. Yes, because it's on the Beyond YouTube channel, but it's from that. I don't know why.
Women's Wrestling Revolution.
Yes, Women's Wrestling Revolution. What did I give you?
You gave me Maki Ito versus Konosuke Takeshita for the DDT Iron Heavy Metalweight Championship.
You definitely pronounced that dude's name better than I ever did.
I don't know. I think you didn't do it. You didn't do it. I wouldn't say you did a bad job last time you said it.
All I remember was anyway. When I said it, I was like, I tried.
I think you did an okay job. Anyway, Let's get into these matches. Zach, do you remember who started off in the Double Down a couple weeks ago?
No, I do not.
All right. So, you know what? You started off the show.
I'll say, why don't you go?
I'll kick us off.
All right.
So, I'll kick us off with me watching Maki Ito versus Konosuke Takeshita for the, again, the DDT Iron Heavy Metalweight Championship. What is it? What's the full name? Hold on.
I fucking love this belt so much.
Yeah, it's the DDT Ironman Heavy Metalweight Championship. Yeah, I was right.
Okay. I went from liking it to loving it after
to loving it. Yeah.
If you go 2 weeks ago, Mikey has like a whole like history lesson for me about this belt, and you can pretty sure you can hear my excitement for this thing go even higher as he just goes into more depth of this fucking belt.
Real quick recap if you didn't hear last week. Some of the champions for this belt include a cat, a monkey, a dachshund dog, a ladder, a pro wrestling poster, a pint of beer, two different steel chairs, the belt itself won the belt, a bus, Vince McMahon's Hollywood Walk of Fame star has won this title, which is very funny. The Young Bucks have won the title together. Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian also won the title together. So it's basically like the 24/7 championship, but it could also be won not only by people but by random inanimate objects as well. This title is amazing.
I love this belt.
So this match is basically Maki trying to get any offense on Takeshita without Takeshita being like. And brushing it off, you know? Sorry, that was terrible for an audio medium. I brushed my shoulder because what Takeshita was doing this beginning of this match was brushing off every hit Maki Ito threw at him.
Indeed.
There's the one point where Takeshita just nails like the really big backbreakers just over and just like twice.
Oh, God. I remember.
Takeshita goes for a suicide dive, and Maki pulls a fan in front of herself, and is like, "No, you get hit with it; it's dead."
Save me,
which was very funny. The two start fighting on the outside for a bit. Then Takeshita goes for like a back suplex off of the apron.
Yeah,
like they start fighting on the apron for a little while after they fight outside the ring, and like Takeshita looks like he's going for a back suplex, like. Towards the barricade, like let's say, like Ito's like grabbing the ropes to hold on, basically.
Yeah.
And Takeshita's like, "No, I want to throw you backwards." but this doesn't work because Maki ends up hitting him with a low blow to stop that from happening.
Yeah.
which lets Ito get some offense in here, and then while she's getting some offense in, what happens here? Oh, yeah. So she got some hits in. Ito goes to the top rope, and then Konosuke runs up and, chop locks, like hits the back of her knees out.
Mm-hmm.
And then is able to hit a big scoop slam after she falls off the top rope. And then Takeshita goes up to the top, and Maki just, like, hucks him off the top rope.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes back up again.
Yep.
For a splash. Takeshita avoids it, though. He avoids it, and then he picks up Ito and, like, bangs her head against the turnbuckle.
Yep.
And in Warhorse fashion, or in Maki Ito fashion, Ito just starts headbanging the turnbuckle with, like, the rock and roll sign up. And she just keeps hitting it. She just screams like, "Yeah!"
Yep.
She just bangs her head on the turnbuckle.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very, very funny. And then Takeshita hits a big backbreaker at one point. He removes the turnbuckle pads because he's just getting tired of this match going on.
Yes.
Because Ito won't give in. And then he goes to slam Ito into the steel, but Ito is able to counter and throw him into the steel post instead, like the unprotected turnbuckle, you know?
Yeah.
And Maki is able to hit a big DDT, hits a big DDT,
Yeah, she goes to Boston Crab him, and he kicks her off him with his feet, and she hits the turnbuckle and bounces off of it and just falls into his dick.
Yes, which was very, very funny.
I fucking love that spot so much.
Maki, there's one point where Maki, like, is able to land a roll up, and she almost wins it because she, like, completely grows him up and, like, kind of rolls herself on top of him, but he kicks out. Then this is the Boston Crab spot now.
Mm.
Then she locks in the Boston Crab.
She gets him in the Boston Crab. He gets the rope break. She then gets up and flips him off, and then he grabs her hand and he does like the don't, no, 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 not doing that. And then he hits her with a forearm.
Maki lands that Boston Crab, but then, Takashita is able to get out and nail a forearm. She tries to hit him back with a headbutt. But then Takashita comes back with, like, a huge knee strike.
Mm-hmm.
And just knocks Maki out, and the ref's, like, counting, like, for the knockout.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, at 7, Maki, like, gets up, flips off Takashita, and then falls on her face again, and the ref finishes the 10 count, and Maki's knocked out.
She tried so hard, Takashita wins.
Man, this match was crazy. So, I did a terrible job of describing it, because so many things happened, and I just didn't want to retell exactly what Zach said last week.
There's a lot that goes on in that match.
Yeah, but it was very fun, very worth it. If you want a better review than what I just did, go back and watch the other 2 weeks ago, where Zach took a look at this match, because he did a very good job of reviewing it.
Thank you.
It was pretty good. I'm going to give it the high meh. I believe you did as well.
I did.
It was just fun. It was just fun wrestling, you know? Like, Maki Ito got her comedy spots in, but also showed that she's a badass and will absolutely, like, wreck Takashita if she had the chance. And yeah, it turned out to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you think about the match I gave you last week?
I thought this is an absolute banger of a match.
Yes, Willow Nightingale, Trish Adora.
This is
very, very solid.
As you said, a classic battle of strength and power versus technical wrestling skills and grappling.
Mm-hmm.
I like how after the first portion of this match, where the two of them, like, were back and forth going off, they started to become aware of each other and played more into their strengths and actively avoiding the others.
Yeah, they went through the whole, like, feeling each other out process.
Mm-hmm. Like, I loved how Willow was like, anytime Adora put her in, like, any type of hold, Willow immediately started to panic and be like, no, no, we're not doing this. No, 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 no. And was, like, trying to, like, favor more strength-based offense, where, like, it didn't really matter what Trish was technically. It's like, if you get fucking slammed to the ground, you're not really gonna avoid that. Mm-hmm. Another thing I liked, actually, was the difference between these two the character work between these two, basically. Like, Willow was all smiles, super vocal, and Adora didn't say a lot, but her body language was on point. Like, she made how she felt throughout this match very apparent, from when she was fucking exhausted to when she was relieved when she, hit a move off on Nightingale. Let's see, side note here. Crowd was great. Always yes. The match's benefit. If a crowd is great, it can turn a match that's okay into a great match.
Yeah.
It's like a jam session. You just feed off the energy of the crowd, and it just makes everything better. Actual wrestling itself, though, fantastic job by the two of them. First half was what I wanted, technical face-off, and then the second half was just these two trying to outsmart each other. Well, actually, that was the first half. My bad, I got my notes mixed up.
Nah, no worries.
It felt like a chess match with each other. Like, they were back, I was like, I could see, like, the wheels turning in both their heads through the first half of this match, and they were like, how the fuck am I gonna get out of this?
Yeah.
Speaking of holes, I gotta say, hold the match goes to Adora for the absolutely brutal modified camel clutch, goes to Nightingale when she locked Adora in that modified camel clutch where she locked her legs up in, like, a figure four and then just ripped her hands around Adora's neck and just yanked back.
Yeah, that was brutal.
Fucking brutal, and I loved it.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Alright, from talking about holds, let's talk about the strikes. These two were giving each other the bidness in this match for the strikes. Like, these two, there was a point in this match where these two just obliterated each other with, like, meaty strikes until Willow popped off with some forearms, and then Adora cut her off with a massive crossbody, and I was just like, this match is amazing. There is one sequence, though, that I did want to talk about, which I thought was fantastic looking. It was when the two of them got on the apron, and they just had that vicious chop-off before Nightingale just picked up Adora and just sent her crashing to the apron with the Death Valley driver onto it.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I was like, I love women's wrestling. This is fucking awesome.
This rules.
There were a couple other points that stood out to me. It's like little notes. Like, I thought Willow had an amazing looking, like, spinning roundhouse kick on Adora that, like, just... It was like when Adora was running the ropes and she just got completely wiped out by it. Will also had a brutal looking Olympic slam, which Kurt Angle has made me a fan of, obviously, because that it looks so good when it's pulled off well. There was Adora's smooth ass sequence where she slammed Willow into the corner, judo threw her out of it, and then after Willow kicked out, immediately locked in the cattle mutilator. And I was just like, nice. Damn, that was yeah. Chef's kiss, wow, man. Chef's holy kiss. Shit.
Awesome.
And, of course, I want to talk about the finish, which I thought was great, which is after Willow whiffed her moonsault, Adora tried to strike her after it, but Willow kicked her arm away, and then she tried to get tried to gut-wrench suplex Adora, but instead Adora rolled her up, and after she kicked out, Adora cinched in the cattle mutilator again, except this time got the win.
Yes.
I thought this match was great. Honestly, like, my notes were not as detailed because Mikey did a great job, as Mikey said, of reviewing this match. This match gets a mark out for me.
Awesome. Yeah, this match was great.
It's not hard. These two, you can tell that they've worked with each other and have good chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. It definitely showed that they fully trusted one another, yes. And 100% were able to do they wanted in this match, and it was awesome.
Two of, in my opinion, the best women's wrestlers for the independent scene, at least. These two are... They never disappoint, ever.
Yeah. Yeah, so far, they have all been aces. 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 Like, really, really good. And I'm super into Willow Nightingale, super into Trish Adora.
Mm-hmm.
And women's wrestling... the wrestling scene is great. Women's wrestling especially is phenomenal these days.
Yes, it is. We are a far cry from the olden days when it was an afterthought for many people.
Yeah. Yeah, women's wrestling rules.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And just any wrestling in general. Just
wrestling.
It's a great time to be a wrestling fan, man.
Pretty much, yeah. So that's like on everyone's brain right now. It's just
fucking
just,
awesome. It's a fucking awesome time to be a wrestling fan.
We are in another golden age of wrestling where it's just
man, we had
so
a
good.
Long we had a long break from when it was fun to be a wrestling fan, but now it's back, you know? The feeling of wrestling rules is back.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, man. I love when we're at a high point like this.
Yes, it is.
The last time I remember everyone being this excited was when AEW debuted.
Yes, I remember this.
Remember that first episode of Dynamite?
Oh my god.
Man.
I was just like, please succeed. Please don't fail. Man. Please, God, don't fail.
Anyway, the match was great. And that is all of our matches this week, I believe.
Yep.
Including the Double Down. So, before we get to all the plugs and junk, we are going to leave you with a little bit of a preview for what we are looking at next week. And of course, we're leaving one match, the match we both checked out as a surprise, as we always do. So, Zach, what are you bringing to the table next week?
I am bringing us Damian Tongra? I'm going to say Tongra.
Okay.
Damian Tongra versus Brandon Williams at Action Wrestling.
Nice.
And very topical to our AEW Elevation review that we did last week, I'm going to be reviewing Masha Slamovich versus Layla Gray at Renegade Wrestling Revolution.
Nice. Okay, yeah, that sounds dope.
I was in the mood for a Slamovich match, apparently, and then I didn't realize I was getting one in person.
We have to watch Slamovich live against
Sheeta.
Sheeta, yeah, that was awesome. Great match.
Mm-hmm.
I just drew a blank there for a second. Anyway, I'm bringing to the table next week another one from GoPro Wrestling. I think it also is from, I don't know if it's from the Polyam Call Party. No, it is from an event called Go Big or Go Home, and it is MV Young taking on Anthony Bowens.
Ooh, that's a fucking match right there.
Yeah, I saw it and I was like, and click.
Oh, they're gonna...
That's the one I want to watch, thank you.
That's gonna be a fucking heavy-hitting match.
And I also have Charlie Evans versus Kanji from Pro Wrestling Seoul.
Nice.
And of course, the match we both checked out is our surprise match. We'll come back next week to figure out what that is. And now that all of that is done, we are getting to the Plugaritos.
Oh, baby.
You know what? You know what I want to see?
What do you want to see?
Zach.
Mm-hmm.
Try your hand at the plugs.
Oh, fuck.
You've never... I don't think... Have you ever done this?
Nope.
Do your best. Do it up top.
All right.
Up top of the dome. Go. Let's hear it.
God damn you. All right. If you want any more content like this, please, by all means, go to our website, countoutpod.com, where you can find in our podcast tab several awesome podcast links, such as Your Dose of Death, How to Talk to Your Friends About Wrestling, and I think, well, what's Ryan's other show's name? Actually,
Ring Post Radio.
Ring Post Radio. All of which are updated weekly. I believe Your Dose of Death is Tuesday. Ring Post Radio is Monday. And How to Talk to Your Friends is Thursday?
Or Friday? Got there. No, you did it. You did it.
Oh, let's go. If you want to see any more news about us or the wrestling world in general or our thoughts on it, check our Twitter at CountOutPod. I think it is CountOutPod.
That's it. Twitter.com/CountOutPod.
I obviously never have any plugs. Mikey, do you have anything you want to plug for the people?
Yeah, go check out, like Zach said, go check out our website, CountOutPod.com, and go become a member over there when you can. If you are so inclined, you can subscribe to us for $5 a month, mm-hmm. and you can use that $5 basically however you want. We let you divvy up that $5 however you feel like, whatever podcast you want to put it to. You are able to customize your membership, so let us know about that, and do go subscribe, because when you do, you get a bunch of free exclusive audio for only Count Out family members. Which is some of the dumbest, most fun audio we've ever recorded. So definitely go subscribe. It'll 100% be worth it. And, of course, we'll be updating that as much as... we'll be updating that later down the line, of mm-hmm. course. And giving you more exclusive audios as a fan. And you can go check out countoutpod.com/store if you would like any merch, such as a t-shirt, a sticker, whatever, what have you. Go over there and get yourself some Count Out swag. And I think Zach nailed the rest. I have no personal plugs. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I guess you can follow me at MikeyM133. Yeah, talk to me over there. And I believe that about wraps it up. If you want to go check out the YouTube channel, it's Count Out Wrestling Podcast Network, where we upload our Twitch replays of Happy Hour and Ring Post Radio live recordings. So go check those out whenever you feel like. Over on our YouTube channel, and subscribe there as well. And now I believe that is all the plugs out of the way. I know Zach doesn't have anything, so that just leaves me with one thing left to say, and that is to remember that there is a gigantic sea of independent wrestling out there.
So never stop exploring.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.
Hi, guys. This is Lauren.
This is Michael.
And this is Your Dose of Death Podcast. If you're genuinely curious about the world of deathmatch wrestling, look no further, as me and Mike have you covered on all things in the world of deathmatch wrestling, whether it's
interviews,
show reviews, or everything in between. We have you covered on all things deathmatch wrestling, whether it's past, present, or future. And you're probably wondering where you can go support us. You can find Your Dose of Death Podcast on all major podcast platforms, especially along with the Count Out Network of Podcasts. And also, you can support us on the Count Out Patreon, as we have exclusive content only on the Patreon for all of our listeners. We hope that you go listen to Your Dose of Death Podcast very soon.
And see you at the shows.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.